Chapter 2. Police Reach Scene. The same clock that boomed the hour that sent Newt Lee off on his rounds of the factory building boomed freedom from the night's work for three men at the Atlanta police station. It had been an easy night for police reporters, but easy nights are weary nights, and the welcome hour meant that the big presses up in the office were grinding out pages of printed matter for the citizens of the city to while away the Sunday hours between breakfast and time to go to church. "Good night, Chief!" they shouted as they clattered down the stone steps of the station house. "Good night, boys!" The two of them turned up Decatur Street, foggy with the night mist, free from the throngs of merry, laughing colored people that had crowded them a few hours earlier. Only the lingering smell of fried fish and the reek of hot dogs remained of the jostling mass of humanity that had filled the street from curb to curb such a little while ago. "Where's Britt?" said one.
"Out in Boots Rogers' automobile, I guess," said the other, and the two laughed.
So the third reporter was left in the automobile, while inside the station house the officers lolled back in their chairs to drone away the remaining hours till the first light of morning. Already, over the smoky skyline to the east, a thin smudge of light was appearing. The arc lights in the street burned blue, and the hands on the station clock were crawling toward the hour of three. Somewhere off in the cells to the rear of the station, the gulping sobs of a negress reached the officers. Brought in earlier in the evening on the charge of disorderly conduct, she had continued to moan and yell throughout the night until exhaustion brought only those racking sobs.
"Sergeant!" growled a thick-set man near the door, whose chevrons proclaimed him ahead of a department. "Make that woman shut up, will you?"
The sergeant sighed and clumped off toward the rear, swinging his keys. Boots Rogers, deputy, opened his mouth to begin the umpteenth exposition of the Grace case, when the telephone bell jangled.
"Well," said Officer W.T. Anderson, "wonder who's ringing up this hour of the night."
He rose wearily, strode to the door of the telephone booth, and swung it open. His brother officers looked up for a moment with passing interest and sank back in their seats.
"Hello, hello," came from the booth. "Yes, this is the police station." "What? You'll have to speak slower, old man. I don't get you."
Then he got the message. The message from that Negro many blocks away, crouching fearful in the gloom of the pencil factory, telling in a shaky voice of a dead girl found in the basement of the National Pencil Factory on Forsyth Street. As Officer Anderson crashed out of the phone booth with his news, the sleepy officers leaped to their feet, wide awake in a minute, to the emergency.
"My machine's in front," yelled Rogers. "Let's go."
In a flash, he was out on the sidewalk, Anderson on his heels. Together, they sprang into the car, woke the sleeping reporter, and the three of them were up the silent street with a sputter and roar, leaving the other officers gaping after a trail of dust and a winking red light. As the machine neared the corner of Pryor and Decatur Streets, two men were seen standing on the corner. They were Officers Dobbs and Brown. The automobile slowed down.
"Jump in!" yelled Rogers, and with hardly a perceptible pause, the big car rocked on up Marietta Street, slewed into Forsyth, and stopped panting at the black pile that they knew was the National Pencil Company.
The four men alighted. Each was breathing hard with excitement as Officer Anderson pounded on the door with his clenched fists. A muffled tread sounded from within. The latch grated harshly, and the frightened face of Newt Lee peered out at them. The whites of his eyes were rolling, and his teeth chattered. The picture of fear, each officer thought to himself. Before he could speak,
"Where's the body?" they shot at him. and had entered the gloomy portal of the factory. With Lee in advance and Anderson right behind him with his hand clenched over a revolver, the men advanced single file to the scuttle hole. Newt Lee led them down the ladder into the darkness and pointed fearfully to the thing in the corner.
"That's it," he whispered.
The officers bent and looked upon the fearfully mutilated body of a girl. She lay inert in the sawdust, her head toward the front, her feet diagonally across toward the right rear corner. The face, bruised and cut, black with grime, was turned toward the wall. The body was faced downward, and as the men stooped for a further examination, the extent of the injuries was revealed to them. They could see her hair in shreds, the unmistakable hair of a white person, stained dark with blood that had oozed from a wicked blow on the back of the head. The blue ribbon that had been tied on so blithely but a few hours before, now wilted and dirty. The silk lavender dress smeared with blood. One small white slipper still clinging to the right foot. Around the neck, a strand of heavy cord that had cut deep into the flesh. Around her head, a clumsily contrived gag, formed of cloth torn from her dress. They turned the body over. The underskirt was ripped to shreds. One stocking supporter was broken. The white stocking itself sagged down almost to the knee. Sergeant Brown threw his head back and gasped, "My God, it's only a child!" While they stood there, Sergeant Dobbs had been making a minute investigation of the cellar floor. A few feet away he found the other slipper of the girl. Near the shaft of the elevator was her flimsy little hat. Then he made a discovery. Turning toward the lantern light, he held up to view two soiled pieces of yellow paper, across which someone had scrawled rude letters. With bated breath, the officers read the notes. This was one. "He said he would love me, laid down like the night witch did it, but that long, tall, black negro did it by hisself." The other read, "Mama, that negro hired down here did this. I went to get water, and he pushed me down this hole. A long, tall negro, black, that has it, woke, long, lean, tall negro. I write while play with me." What thing was this? What did they mean? Had the man who wrote these notes done this hellish deed? The quick flash of suspicion, already born in the brain of every white man present, turned toward the black man, Lee. It was Anderson who swung suddenly toward the watchman and flung a rough hand on his shoulder. "Nigger, you done this," he said hoarsely.
"For God, I didn't, white folks."
A moment later, and Anderson had slipped the handcuffs on his wrists, and Newt Lee was under arrest for murder.